Okay. We're on Shenyang, right, Adam? Something like that. Yeah, good. Okay, here we go. Did we do a mandala? Okay. So now he's going to talk about different ways of... He's kind of wrapping up the seven steps of preparing for meditation. And he's been talking about... He just talked about how each step acts as an antidote for a different negative emotion, right? Now he says Shenyang, Yenlak Dunba Di. These seven limbs also Sak Chang Pel Sum De Du Te. You can say that they can be divided into three functions, okay? All seven can be grouped into three functions. Sak means collecting new good karma. Why? You're just about to go into a meditation. So you're trying to pump up your karma just before you start meditating, okay? And you hope it'll last for the next hour or something. Then jang means what? Jang means to purify your negativities, okay? People, of course, I've been walking and talking with people, and a lot of our needs in our life boil down to collecting more good karmic seeds. And a lot of the needs in our life boil down to clearing some old bad karmic seeds. So that's called sakjang, okay, sakjang. Then he says pel, okay, pel, which means to multiply. So we need to collect new karma, we have to clean out old bad karma, and then we have to do things that multiply the power, okay. And those seven, each of them fall into those categories. Those of you studying Tibetan, yenlak, say yenlak. Chenga, which means, yenlak means what? Yenlak means a branch or a limb. It can mean a branch of a bank. It can mean your physical limbs, okay? A branch of a tree. So those seven are called in Tibetan branches, okay? Like Ashtanga, okay? The eight branches, okay? Anga also means that. So, yenlak dunba. Oh, sorry. So, yenlak che nga is a difficult expression. Che means half, and nga means five. So, in Tibetan, when you want to say four and a half, you say half five. And then it's hard to translate. Lots of people get stuck there. Okay, I don't know if it's in any dictionary or anything. So, che nga means four and a half. It means half five. Okay. I cheated. I put them in there for you, okay? Four and a half of the limbs, which is the first one, which is bowing down, the second one, which is offering, half of the fourth one, which is rejoicing, the fifth one, asking them to teach, and the sixth one, asking to stay. Is that four and a half? Yeah. Those, the function of those four and a half, it's sok sok. What's that? Yeah, make new good karma just before you go into your meditation. So the function of four and a half of the preliminaries is to make new good karma, okay? Bowing down is to make new good karma. Offering is to make new good karma. Asking them to teach is to make new good karma. Asking them to stay is to make new good karma. Half of rejoicing is to make new good karma. Half of rejoicing goes somewhere else, okay? Okay, so that covers the new good karmic seeds just before you meditate part, okay? Then he says, Shakpa Jangwa. So Shakpa, which is limb number three, we're confessing, that's the one which cleans out old bad karma, okay? So just that one. Four and a half of the seven limbs relate to collecting new good karma. One relates to cleaning out old bad karma, Jang, okay? Then Yirangi Chokchik means... half of the rejoicing relates, and ngoa, which is dedication, relate to multiplying your karmas, okay? Multiplying the power of your karmas. So dedicating and being happy about what you've been doing. Coffee meditation, okay? Coffee meditation functions to multiply your karmas, okay? Okay, this is cool. Yiksha Miselyang. Yiksha is a difficult word. It means a document. But in the monastery, it means a monastic textbook. Okay, Yiksha. Misel means it's not so clear in the monastic textbooks. Okay, the means in the monastic textbooks, right? Yiksha Misel. What's Uzo? Yeah, clear light. The clear light, emptiness. Okay. What is it in the Yoga Sutra? Do you remember? The Sanskrit. I don't remember. Pa. Something pa. Anyway. Huh? Nirbhasa. Yeah, that sounds good. Nirbhasa. The corresponding Sanskrit is pa. BHA, like Amitabha, Amitabha, means limitless light. And then that root BHA came into Greek as PHO, like in photo or photon. Okay. So Gyabjo Dapo Lama Rinpoche, that's his own teacher, okay? And they call Dundan Denpa Kyang Sen Ngusu Me means, it's a very cool expression in Tibetan scriptures. It means, whose name I only speak out of great necessity. Whose name I only utter out of great necessity. It means you shouldn't use your Lama's name in vain, something like that. It'd be like saying Jesus Christ or something like that, okay? In Tibet, you can't use your Lama's name except in situations of great reverence. And if you do, you're considered really bad manners or something. So he doesn't even call his Lama by his name. He just says, the Supreme Savior from Dakpo, which is like Kansas, the Precious Lama. He doesn't name him. He just says, the Precious Lama, the Supreme Savior from Kansas. You know, Dakpo is a place in Tibet. Sungyunla, according to the oral tradition of my teacher, Yanak Dunla Langje. Say Langje. Do you see it up there? Lak RJES. Okay. That J, if you don't have the S on it, it means what? Lord, like Jed Tsongkhapa. Okay, Jed Tsongkhapa. Or Dorje, which is Lord of Stones, which is a diamond or a Vajra. So, what's. You want to know how weird things have gotten karmically for us in China? So, in Beijing, you know, where it has been tense in the past, we were put into a resort to do the retreat, and the name of the resort is Jay Mansions. And we're like, what's the J stand for? And the owner says, well, Jet Tsongkhapa, of course. You know? And we're like, okay. It's like a billion. Did somebody say it was a $1 billion new resort or something like that? It's like off the walls. Anyway, maybe you can get to go to Jay Mansion someday. So that's Jay. But this spelling means afterwards. In Sanskrit, it's anu, right? Like so Jay means after. Lak means what? Lakpa. Yeah. So what it means is, here I have my trusty, the one that's not broken, and you press it, right? And it leaves an indent. It means an indent, an afterhand, an imprint, okay? Lakche, I like the word. It's very important for the study of karma, okay? What you expose your mind to puts an indent on your consciousness. And it stays, okay? And that creates a karmic seed. So you can call them sanskaras, you can call them saban, bakchak, but you should learn the word lakche. That's a new one for you, I think. Lakche means literally imprint, okay? That's a lakche. So each of the seven limbs leaves a lakche on your consciousness, on your mind, okay? It leaves an indentation on your on your mind, on your heart, okay? What are the ones for each of them, okay? And he says, you ain't going to find this in any scripture. This is my lama's personal instructions. That's what he's trying to say. Mindawa means there are various ones. Yute. Number one. Then I split them out for you, okay? Chakselwe. Chakselwa means bowing down. And here is instrumental. So by bowing down, here's what will happen. Tsuktor drub, okay? Lakche jok. Okay, say lakche jok. So jok means to put an imprint, okay? To make an imprint. So lakche jok is the verb to put an imprint, okay? And it gives you an imprint for tsuktor. What's tsuktor? Do you guys know? Huh? Yeah, it's the... Yeah, ushnisha. It's the bump on a Buddha's head. Okay, my lama had one already. He really did, and he had those long ears already. But it's the karma for this special bump on a Buddha's head. I had one student like 30 years ago said, "I don't want the bump." I said, "Okay, I'll work it out with central office," you know. Anyway, Tsukto Drupin Lakshya. Okay. What do you think the connection is between prostrating and having a bump on your head? I mean, having a Buddhist skull shape. Maybe it's because you put your head on the ground. I don't know. Lakche Ngarshe Pashin, as I mentioned before. I don't remember him mentioning it before, but probably he did. Number two. Chöpe Ni. You get Namkhan Zu. Say Namkhan Zu. Namkhan Zu. We talked about that once before. Say again? Yeah, you can call it sky treasure. Sky treasure. And what it means is your karma, as far as finances, is so goddamn good that you can just pluck things out of thin air. You know, we need a kitchen at Diamond Mountain. Okay, here's $200,000. You know, yeah, it wasn't that easy, by the way, but almost. It took 20 minutes. But you create karmas that allow you to pluck things out of the air, you know. It's weird. It's a weird karma. You should believe that, okay? Don't be cynical. You know, just because you haven't got there yet, don't think it's not possible, okay? If you collect the right lakches, you can see weird things happen, like Jay Mansions in Beijing, okay? I mean, try to understand. Okay. That's Namkhadze. You can pluck your needs out of thin air. From which of the branches? From which of the parts? Offering, by doing the offering. So, you know, I have friends who are like, oh, I'm going to leave that peach on the altar another 2 days. It's not quite mushy yet. You know, like, they're too lazy to change the peach on the altar. And I'm like, for God's sake, you know, don't you want to stay in Jay Mansion? You know, that was a mansion. That place was unbelievable. And, you know, from the Jay Mansion, you can see the Tower of Beijing in which the government meets. I have a photo of it. I'll send you a photo of it. This is where the seven supreme leaders of China meet. And, you know, we're right below there. And, where is that? Here you go. Langchen Nakazila, Nganye means to have total power over that resources, okay? To have total control over resources, okay? Number three, Shakpa, the confession, Sepa Pangwa means allows you to eliminate without any trace. The drip ni, the two obstacles. Okay, there are two obstacles in Buddhism. What are they? Nyun drip and shidrip. I put them there for you. Nyun drip is what? Obstacles to omniscience. Yeah, I'm sorry, nirvana. Yeah, obstacles to nirvana. And then Shidib is obstacles to omniscience. It's a those of you who care, the Tibetan is confusing because in the first one, they name what the obstacle is. And in the second one, they name what it's obstacling. Okay, got it? So the first thing is called mental affliction obstacle, which means the mental afflictions prevent you from reaching nirvana. And then in the second case, they call it all things obstacle, which means an obstacle to the knowledge of all things, to omniscience. Okay, so it's a confusing pair, and you've got to learn that. Okay, all right. You got it, the tower yet? Nah. No, you got it? Okay, it's coming. Okay, yirang ki tongnami tumba mebe kudrupa. Yirang means rejoicing. Tongnam means if you look upon it. Mitumba mebe means there can be no it means lack of harmony. But the wording means lack of harmony, but what it means is no one can fail to be amazed or something like that. Like everyone, there's no disagreement, okay, about how fantastic you look. You're ku. Ku means the holy body. So this is a weird karma, okay, if you want, and all these people are spending so much money on cosmetics, and, you know, I've done that. My boss in the diamond company, she said, I'm going to Tokyo, you know, and I'm like, okay. And she says, you're coming with me. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to run a company. I'm a little busy. And she's like, no, you're coming with me. And I'm like, okay. And then I got there and I'm with her and she says, and she's got two huge suitcases, you know, and I'm like, and she takes me to Takashimaya, which is a big department store in Tokyo. They at the best, you know. And then she says, you stay out here. I said, well, what are you doing? She says, I'm buying cosmetics, you know. Like, we're going to put them in the two suitcases, you know. And she says, I have to have this kind. And you can only get it here, you know. We just flew like 18 hours. I'm like, okay. And I stood outside of Takashimaya with these two suitcases, you know. And I'm like, you can save a lot of money if you know about rejoicing. Okay. You know, you know, you can, it means you can have a person who is rejoicing frequently, it changes the karma of their physical appearance, how they look to others, okay? Their beauty, or how they strike other people. It's all karma, right? It's all karma. You hear terrible songs on the radio and they're number one. And then you know really great songs that never made it, right? I just saw that movie, what's it called? Looking for Sugar Man? Yeah, like three people gave it to me and like 2 years later I was like, maybe I should look at it. And it's just some weird karma, like nobody in the United States wants to listen to this guy. And then in South Africa he's a national hero. And that's just karma, and that applies to your appearance also. Like how people see you and what you see in the mirror. It's totally coming from your karma. There's nothing objectively good about Sugar Man's songs, and there's nothing objectively bad about them. And it's proven by the fact he was a national hero and he didn't know in South Africa. He sold 500,000 records in South Africa in a small country. And then they found him. They went looking for him, and he was working in a construction gang in Detroit. Because he gave up his musical career because nobody wanted. He sold 6 albums or something, you know, in America. and the South Africans went and found him, you know. And if you rejoice in other people's accomplishments, then it changes your physical appearance, and it's cheaper than going to Takashimaya. Okay, Kudrupatang. Oh, you got the tower. Why did we talk about the tower? I don't remember. Oh yeah, this is the view from Jay Mansions, okay. Anyway. Yeah. That's the where they keep the lawnmowers at the Jay Mansion, and then that's where the government meets of China. The Supreme Council of China meets there. Chungkor Korwa, number five. Okay, I'm skipping down to five. Okay, Adam. I went and researched a lot about that Takashimaya thing, and I just wanted to make sure that's what it was, and it is, so I'm skipping all that. Those are my notes, okay, from other scriptures. Chunko Korwa Kulwe means, what's Chuki Korlo? Dharma Chakra. The Dharma, the wheel of the Dharma, right? And then Korwa Kulwa means asking your Lama to turn the wheel of the Dharma. Why do they call something like these talks turning the wheel of the Dharma? It's because it passes from heart to heart. It's that thing again. Okay? I give it to you, you give it to your students, they give it to their students. Okay? I got it from my teachers. And it passes to people like a wheel. Okay? So think of it like that. What's the karmic imprint in your mind if you ask your teacher to teach? Right? You get Sangyang. Okay? I was going to look up the... here, I'll show you something cool. Oh, you can't see it. That's too bad. I'm going to look up the Sanskrit for that because I didn't have time to do that. Sangyang. That's not my help. Okay. In Sanskrit, it's Brahma Gosha. Okay. Brahma means, it's a Hindu deity, right? They mispronounce it as Brahma or something like that. Yeah, it's Brahma. And then Gosha means voice, like Manju Gosha is Manjushri, right? Or Ashva Gosha. So anyway, if you ask your teacher to teach, you will get this special effect on your voice, okay? Your voice will change. And in very extraordinary ways. One way, the coolest way to me, is that whatever language you speak in is understood by people from other countries. Okay? So the things you say, or the way you word things, is understood by people in many countries. Okay? And in the end, in the Yoga Sutra, it says, do you know Sarva Bhuta Rutas Jnanam? What's that? Sarva Bhuta Rutas Jnanam. You can speak all the languages of the world, okay? And in its extreme form, you speak your language and everyone hears their own language, okay? Because of your karma, okay? And on a lesser level, as teachers or as people talking to other people about these ideas, you should attempt to relate to where they are, okay? Like, one day, I commuted for 19 years, 2 hours each way to this corporate job in New York, because I had to be back at the monastery every night. And one day we broke down outside a bar. The bus broke down. Everybody had to get off the bus. I called my friend, he came to get me. But in the meantime, I'm sitting in the bar next to this, I've never been in a bar, I'm next to this guy, and he's like, this big rowdy guy, and they're like, what are you doing, man? You know, and I'm like, I'm from Jersey, you know, and you gotta talk like them. You see what I mean? You, as a teacher or as a Dharma person, you have to talk like the people you're talking with, and that's a skill that you have to develop. You should try to adjust the presentation, even of your physical appearance, to fit the people that you're trying to relate to. Otherwise, it won't work, you know. They asked me in China, why do you wear your hair like that? And I said, well, if I shave my head and wear robes around and go to Singapore and stand up in front of business people, they'll just won't invite me back, no matter what I say. So it's traditional to try to make other people comfortable and try to look in a way that makes them comfortable and try to speak in a way that makes them comfortable. I never wear robes. The last trip to Asia, was it? I didn't wear robes once, you know, because it wouldn't be appropriate. So, except in, we took a trip to Taiwan for 4 hours, and I changed in, because Taiwan's like a Dharma paradise. And so I had a meeting in the airport hotel, the Novotel, in the airport, and I could wear robes, and it wasn't weird. So anyway, okay. So by asking your teacher to teach, your voice will change, okay? And people will hear what you're trying to tell them, okay? That's the basic thing. It's called 60 qualities of an enlightened being speech. I just told you one. There's 59 others. We don't have time. Okay, you can skip 5 pages down because I made notes about the whole thing. Okay, let me see if I could... Yeah, if you care, it's one of the qualities of a Buddha. How many qualities of a Buddha are there? How many marks of a Buddha are there? 80 and 32, okay? 32 major marks, 80 minor marks, total 112. You can find them in the 8th chapter of the Abhisamma Ankara, okay? Of Maitreya's book that we spoke about yesterday. And they're there. And it's a beautiful... chapter, because the whole book is in a meter, you know, like patam pata patam pata patam pata patam pata patam pata patam pata, and then suddenly it goes padata kamada mangatang tavata kinda kambatang tahanda makanda, and when you're reciting it, everyone goes whoa, and then that's when you hit the qualities of a Buddha. It's weird, it's like mystical, it's like the meter changes into some kind of very weird thing, like a Buddha is talking. And, you know, so if you want to know about that, what do you call it? Brahma Gosha. If you want to know about that karma to speak and all people hear you, it's in the 8th chapter of that book, okay? Which would be a nice thing to study someday. It's a presentation of the 112 marks and what they mean, you know. Why does a Buddha have wheels imprinted on their palms? Things like that, okay? Like, there's a whole long story about it, and you should study it someday, okay? But that comes from the Prajnaparamita in 100,000 lines, okay? And I found it for you, and I pulled it out here, and it discusses that speech quality, and that's what I just told you about, okay? So the ultimate source of all of them is Lord Buddha's teaching in the 100,000 lines. That was abbreviated to the 25,000 lines. And that was abbreviated to the 18,000 lines. And I have all the quotations there if anyone wants to write a doctoral thesis about it someday. Okay. So you can skip all the bold. I think it's about 5 pages of notes. Oh, you might want to know that the 6th Dalai Lama's name was Sangyang Gyatso, Brahma Gosha Sarah Ocean. Okay. Why? What's he known for? He didn't live very long. We don't even know when he died. He disappeared at the age of in his early 20s. There's often a lot of political intrigue around the Dalai Lamas, and they tend to disappear or get murdered, so he did disappear. But before he disappeared, he gave up his ordination, and he had a lot of his writings are love poems. He was known for his love poems, and they're exquisite, and they're spiritual love poems. And someday we could read them. But his name is Sangyang, is that Brahma Gosha. His name was the one who speaks and all people hear. Okay, because he spoke love poems. Okay, so that's kind of cool. And the Tibetans really rever him. The Tibetans really believe in him. They didn't think it was a scandal or something. They thought he's special. He's like somebody unusual. And they love him. They rever him, you know. Okay. First time I went to Russia to catalog the books there. So we spent 14 years there, and we cataloged 141,000 Tibetan books there. The director of the library is an ex-KGB and naval captain. And the reason he was the director of the library, that as his PhD thesis, he translated his love poems. Because he was interested in spiritual things, but he couldn't, under the communist regime, he couldn't translate philosophy. So he just called it poetry. And he wrote a nice book about those poems. If you want to read it someday. Okay. We should take a break. That's been a long time. Let's take a break. I'll sit down here. Yak noises. And then there's this long story, and then he tricked the king into. He was saying, yaks make noise like quack, quack. And the king says, no. And he's like, they don't make a noise like quack, quack. And he's like, no. Yaks go, And then the guy won the bet, you know. Questions? Any questions? We have a.